It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I, of course, am Chris Shearn. We'll be joined with Joe Oriema, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, in just a bit. But first, I get to vent by myself in what we like to call the monologue. And we'll start off where we always start off, because I know the fans of the podcast that listen every week diligently, and we appreciate you very much. You love that I start, always. Not with the first place New York Yankees. Not with just the AL East champion New York Yankees. But with the ALDS champion New York Yankees. I really don't know what you call the winner of the ALDS. I guess it's just, you know, you graduated like you're going from junior high to high school. It's like you just, you know, graduated eighth grade. There's still some work to be done in high school and college. I guess the ALCS would be high school and the World Series would be your years in college. I just made that up. I'm babbling. I'm not even caffeinated, which amazes me. But the Yankees take care of the Twins in three straight games. Both myself and Joe, and it's documented on YesNetwork.com, we both thought this was going to be a sweep, and not to pat ourselves on the back, but we were right. We were right. Sweep. The Yankees outscored the Twins 15-6. Their dominance over the Twins this year was so complete that they finished 10-0 against the Twins this season, including four wins at the Metrodome, which said farewell to baseball with Sunday night's 4-1 loss for the Twins. We'll see you next year outdoors in 30-degree weather, and it's snowing. Perfect baseball weather, if you ask me. But anyway, the Yankees move on. All of you hoping for a Yankees-Red Sox ALCS, it's not going to happen because the Red Sox are also swept. So how, I don't even know where to start. Everybody had their underwear in a bunch when the Red Sox jumped out to an 8-0 lead over the Yankees this year. They won the first eight games. What are we going to do? We can't beat this team. And now, second week of October, as Optimus Prime said, one shall stand, one shall fall. The Red Sox are Megatron to the Yankees, Optimus Prime. Somehow I got a Transformers reference in there. it's amazing how I babble and just things come out of my mouth. But anyway, I digress. The Yankees moving on, playing the Angels. Can't wait. ALCS, first time since 2004. They exercise the Angels' demons during the regular season. It seems like this is a year of, I guess it would be exorcision or exorcising of demons. You have Alex Rodriguez completely tearing it up in the playoffs. 5-for-11. 2 home runs. 6 RBI. Those 2 home runs, by the way. All of you Twitter detractors of A-Rod, and you know who you are, because after he was 0-for-2, everyone was thrown in a towel like Rocky with Apollo, a little too late. I understand that you live on every pitch and every at-bat, but a postseason does not rest on 2 at-bats, especially his first 2. And then all A-Rod did was tie it up in game 2 in the 9th inning with a bullet of a blast into the bullpen. Tied it at 3, and then Teixeira, his buddy, won it in extras in the 11th. A la Aaron Boone, almost the same place. Different team, and it just made it over the fence. And in Game 3, Carl Pavano is shutting the Yankees down until A-Rod comes up and ends that noise. Ties the game at 1 in the 7th. A couple batters later, Jorge Posada says, hey, keep him in. He homers. And I don't know if you were listening, my astute Yankee fans, but they did have a shot of the Yankees dugout on TBS, and some of the people on Twitter and myself couldn't really decipher who it was, whether it was Jorge or Jeter, but one of those guys, when Gardenhire or the pitching coach went out to the mound, said, no, no, leave him in. So if you don't think these guys wanted to beat him and beat him to a pulp, which they didn't, he held his own. He pitched well. But you know what? It's sweet revenge. The Yankees, after 4 years of nothing from this guy, clinched the ALDS by beating Carl Pavano. All right, we got plenty to do, including the Yankees, including the New York Giants, which I have to make amends with this team. They were 4-0 last week. I was treating them like they were 1-3. Yeah, we'll get to you in a second, Oriema. He's over here pointing at himself. We'll also talk about the New York Jets. They dropped their second in a row. I know everybody wants to start waving the white flag and hitting the panic button like it's going out of style, but patience, Jet fans, patience. The Dolphins don't stink. Chad Henne might turn out to be a great quarterback. You know, Chad Pennington going down might have benefited the Dolphins this year by getting Henne out there. He was the future. And you know what? The Jets have a bright future with Mark Sanchez, and it looks like the Dolphins might have a bright future with their quarterback, Chad Henne. So we'll talk about all this stuff. Maybe we'll even throw the Rangers in there. 5 in a row up to this point for the New York Rangers. Oh, come on. It's early, but who's got the top seed in the East, baby? Woo! All right, I'll shut up. More of the Off the Wall podcast when we come back next. And more of Joe Oriema grimacing at me. That's all next. Off the Wall podcast. Coming up right after this.
Go to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz. Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones. The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman. River Ave Blues and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. I'm Chris Sheeran, and joining us now, as he always does in our second segment, is the godfather of yesnetwork.com, Joe Oriema.
I'm going to do it this week. Late all the gabagool.
So, Joe, let's start the way we always start in our second segment, and that's talking a little about the New York Yankees. Now, this is a very... Listen, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And right now, the Angels and Yankees are the two best teams in the American League. No one squeaked out of the first round as a,
absolutely,
a dark horse. The Yankees and the Angels are meeting like two immovable, like an immovable object meeting a, what's the other part of that phrase? I don't know.
Another immovable
object. Yeah, that. But they're coming together like the helmets on Monday Night Football. This is just going to be ridiculous. The only two times these teams have faced in the postseason was the ALDS, and we both know what happened in 2002 and 2005.
Five-game series, by the way.
Right. This is the first seven-game series between the two. So a little bit more breathing room for the Yankees with this Angels team. They already exercised the demons out in L.A. They are L.A. of Anaheim or Anaheim of L.A. It gets confusing out there, but it should be, you know, this is like the understatement of the year, but this should be a great series.
I completely agree with you. The lineups are very comparable. The Angels have speed at the top of the lineup. That pesky Sean Figgins, who always seems to give the Yankees trouble. If you can get past him, your reward is guys like Torii Hunter and Vlad Guerrero and Kendry Morales.
Don't forget about Bobby Abreu.
I was going to get to my former man, Bobby, out in right field, baby. But look, Their lineups are very comparable. John Lackey at the top of the rotation is one of the best in the American League, followed by Jared Weaver, who is a 15-game winner. That's where it gets a little hairy for the Angels, if you ask me. Past Weaver and Lackey, I'm not completely sold on Kazmir, who the Yankees know all too well and have hit in the past, and Joe Saunders. I'm not sold on Saunders as either. You look at the bullpen. This is the one place that the Angels used to dominate the Yankees, but this season the Yankees seem to like hitting against the Angels' bullpen. Brian Fuentes is not a shutdown closer like Troy Percival or Francisco Rodriguez in past years. Jose Arredondo, although he might throw 99 miles an hour, that 99 is right over the plate, and the Yankees hit him pretty well. And past that, I'm not impressed with Darren Oliver or Irvin Santana or anybody else that they're going to throw at the Yankees, which, to me, Chris, is the difference between these two teams in this series. The Yankees have a much more superior bullpen. Their lineups are, like I said, they're right there with each other. The bullpen, the Yankees' bullpen is light years ahead of the Angels' bullpen, and I think the Yankees' rotation with Andy Pettitte as their number three is deeper.
Well, the one thing that the Yankees can't do against the Angels that they did against the Twins is walk the ninth place hitter. I mean, Nick Punto had an awful season, but you know what? He had a great ALDS.
Right.
That guy was a pest. He got on base whenever the Twins needed something to start. Nick Punto seemed to get on base somehow. He batted like 228 in the regular season, and he didn't destroy the Yankees hitting, but he was on base. You can't walk the ninth place hitter. Basically, you can't have any big walks in the postseason. We know what happened in 2004 against the Red Sox.
Right.
Mariano walks Millar, in comes Dave Roberts, and the rest is history.
Right.
The starting pitchers, the relievers as well, and I echo your comments. I mean, I think the Yankees have the better bullpen. I think the Yankees down the line have the better starters as well. I mean, I'll take Andy Pettitte over Scott Kazmir, because you never know what you're going to get at Kazmir. And the Yankees could beat Kazmir. And the Yankees beat Weaver the last time they faced. It was a tight game, but the Yankees beat him.
Yes.
I mean, and if it all boils down to the bullpen, I think the Yankees win this series, and I think they take it in 6 or 7. I mean, I'm not going to count the Angels out completely. This is no sweep.
No.
This is no win in 5. This is either 6 or 7. There's no way this series goes just 5. Unless there's an injury or something goes very wrong for one of these teams. This is going the duration. It's either going 6 or it's going 7.
Looking at the Yankees rotation, I know we've talked about Chad Godin as possibly the number 4 starter in the ALCS and in 7-game series. I really like the fact that this ALCS is so spread out, because you can go with CeCe Sabathia 1, Burnett 2, Pettitte 3, Sabathia on short rest, which he's done before. He hasn't done it this year. Then you go Burnett, Pettitte, and you'd have Sabathia for Game 7 on full rest. So you can go 1-4-7 with Sabathia, and you can go 2-3 and 5-6 with Burnett and Pettitte. And the only guy who's getting short rest is, to me, the guy that can handle it, and that's CeCe Sabathia.
That is a great point out of you. I'm looking at the schedule right now. Game 1 is Friday the 16th. Game 2 is Saturday the 17th. Game 3 would be Monday. Game 4, Tuesday. But then Game 5 isn't until Thursday. So they get another extra day off there. So that definitely works out in the Yankees' favor.
To me, if I'm the Yankees, I'm going with the three best guys that they have, and that's, you know, CeCe Sabathia, Burnett, and Pettitte, and I'm just going to ride them out for the series because of the way the schedule allows them to start these guys. And I wouldn't even put Godin in the 4th spot.
There's no need.
I would just ride these guys.
If Sabathia is healthy, and depending on what kind of start he has, whether he labors in Game 1 or doesn't, I mean, that's going to have something to do with it, throwing him on short rest. I mean, if he throws 120 pitches and he only gets through 6 innings, I would err on the side of caution, because
Right. You
don't want to, I don't care who he is.
You don't want to overwork.
You don't want to overwork the guy, because he still has to pitch in the World Series if you get there. But if he has an outing where he throws maybe 90 to 100 pitches and goes 7 innings in Game 1, I could see the Yankees and Joe Girardi possibly doing that. And why wouldn't you? If Sabathia says he can go, and you don't even know how the series is going to go. It's all going to depend on how the series plays out. If the Yankees are up 2-1 after three, Joe Girardi might say, you know what, I can start Gaudin.
Exactly. I think it's going to really.
If the Yankees are down 2-1, I don't think he's going to run Gaudin out there.
I think it's Sabathia
when the season is on,
right?
Or when the series is on the line.
I agree with that. And just looking past these starters, look, Phil Hughes did not have the greatest ALDS. There has to be a little bit of concern for what Phil Hughes did and how Phil Hughes is going to pitch in the ALCS. But you have to ride the horses that got you here.
Hughes was
great all season.
You put him in there in one of these games in the ALCS, he gets his confidence back and everything will be fine. But if he goes out there the first couple games and he has issues again, you know, maybe Joe Girardi gets to a point in the lineup with the Angels where he sees that Hughes could flourish. Maybe, you know, the 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters are coming up.
Right.
And it's the 8th inning and we have the lead. All right, let's get Hughesy in there.
Right.
Let him get some confidence back. But if he goes out there against the bottom of the order, I mean, that could work both ways.
Yeah.
But if that's the way it shapes up, either way, he goes in there, faces whoever, and gets some outs, his confidence will be back. I think he'll be fine.
And if there was any question about whether I've been a Jabba Chamberlain in the bullpen supporter since the beginning. If there's any question that this guy is a different pitcher when he's in the bullpen.
Joey and I sat there for games 1 and 2, and both games he came out of the bullpen, and both games his first fastball was 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said. There's no argument. I mean, because when you look at starters like Josh Beckett, who brings it all game, and A.J. Burnett, who brings that kind of cheese all game. Then you look at Jabba Chamberlain, who has a 95 to 97 mile an hour fastball coming out of the bullpen, and then when he starts, it's 91 to 93.
Mm-hmm.
You got to raise your eyebrows.
No, I hear you. Couple things, Chris, that I wanted to bring up with you. You know, a criticism that Joe Girardi's had all season is that maybe sometimes he overmanages the bullpen. First of all, he manages the bullpen better than Joe Torre ever did. But does he overmanage the bullpen? Does he overthink sometimes? You know, in game 3 when Andy Pettit was only at 81 pitches, look, he doesn't allow Pettit to pitch to Delmon Young. Pettit is rolling. Delmon Young was 9 for 14 coming into this game against Pettit, but he was 0 for 2 in the game against Pettit. Did he just overthink it? I mean, we saw kind of that same situation. It could have been really bad in game 2 when they went to 11 innings and they had Gaudin left, and that was it, out in the bullpen.
And Swisher.
And Swisher. Do you think sometimes that he overthinks it? Do you think that it could cost them a game in this series?
Well, we talked about this already. You know, I think managers today, instead of relying on their gut, I think they look at all these computer printouts and they rely on the computer printouts. You just said it. He was 9 for 14 against Pettit going into that game against Pettit.
Right.
And he was 0 for 2. Did he overthink it in that situation? I think yes. I Pettit 81 pitches rolling along in the game. I think you leave him out there. I think you let him get him. And if Pettit doesn't get him there, what's the worst that could happen? He hits a home run.
Guy pitched a great game. I think he was the best option out there at that point in time. He was only at 81 pitches. He wasn't laboring. I would have went with Pettit, but you could also say on the other side of the coin that he wanted to really close that game out. And, you know, it could have been a time where Delmon Young was just a sleeping giant waiting to wake up. And
This is why Joe Girardi gets paid to be the manager and we get paid to
just analyze
second guess everything and analyze everything.
Right.
I mean, it worked. In game 2, though, there were some instances where we both kind of looked at each other and we were scratching our heads, and one of them was taking Jabba Chamberlain out. I mean, he got a quick hook that night. This is a guy who was a starter all season long, and, you know, he's gassing the ball. I don't know why he
lucked out with Coke. I mean, Coke came in and got the lefty out, but Chamberlain's been facing lefties all season.
And then he almost ran out of pitchers. I mean, you just have to know, listen. Nobody's Nostradamus. No one's going to know, like, oh, this game's going to go 11 innings and I'm going to need this guy here and need this guy there. But I just thought Jabba could have faced a couple more hitters, maybe even pitched into the next inning.
I agree.
But maybe he was thinking of the series as a whole, and he didn't want to overuse them. I just don't know what his thought process was. I wish we could get him on the podcast so we could talk to him about it. But we can't, so we just have to guess.
Give me a little prediction, Chris. Come on.
You want a prediction? Pain. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I think it's going to go either 6 or 7, but I won't waffle like Brett Favre. I will give you a concrete prediction, and I'm going to say Yankees, and I think it goes the distance. I think it goes 7.
Yankees in 7. Mark that down. I am going to say Yankees in 6.
Okay. So there you have it, and we're going to do our football predictions next. Not a good week of football for myself or Joey. It was a weird week in professional football, and we're going to talk about the Giants and Jets and more when we come back on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features, only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Yes! Hallelujah, indeed. I finally got what I was asking for, and it's because of one of two reasons. A, the Giants are avid listeners of the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com, or B...
Which means I'm getting a big bonus check.
Or B, the Oakland Raiders stink. Joe and I think it's the latter. I mean, they just look like a Pop Warner football team out there.
They're
and,
awful.
And there's just no... I have a bone to pick with the officials, too. That game, not that I'm complaining, because they didn't need it, but there's no way in hell, in Satan's hell, that you could have blown that play dead where the Giants stripped the ball and ran it in for a touchdown when the Raiders were going in for theirs. No way. I've been watching the NFL my entire life, okay? My entire life. A, I didn't hear a whistle. B, he wasn't down yet. C, his forward progress wasn't really stopped.
I agree. I mean, there is no way in Rosie O'Donnell's hell that should have been called. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. That play should have been called dead. But you know what? Throw the Raiders a bone.
I know. But I sat here and we screamed back and forth last week on how I just wanted once, the Giants go out there and take a lesser team and basically flush them down the toilet. I didn't want 24-0. I wanted like an old San Francisco 49ers against Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You got
beat
it.
Down.
You got it.
And you know what? I got it. So now I'm shutting my mouth. This team is 5-0.
And can I just say something? Jamarcus Russell might be the worst quarterback in the league. Does he feel pocket pressure at all?
I don't know.
Does he even know that Justin Tuck sacked him?
Something very telling from Jeff Garcia, who was a Raider at the beginning of the season and then went to Philly and then they released him. But after Philly released him, I read an article about him saying, you know, Jamarcus Russell doesn't want any help. Quote from Garcia, half the players in that locker room don't care about winning. They want to check. What do you expect? Their head coach, you know, it's going to be a Law and Order episode on the sideline.
Tom Cable, yeah.
Tom Cable, you know, you're going to hear dun dun, and the cuffs are going to go on this guy.
Yeah,
he's he's walking on eggshells because he might get arrested for breaking one of his assistant's jaws. Listen,
it's an awful situation.
Al Davis was great in the '60s. I mean, he's one of the founding fathers of the AFL. God bless him. He did all that work. But, Al, it's time to move on.
It's over.
It's time to move on. You know what? Just be a figurehead. I'm not saying you have to sell the Raiders. But bring in some football people from now. From the turn of the century. From this decade. It's over for you. Please. I'm not even a Raider fan. And you're killing me because you're killing football. and you're killing one of the greatest franchises in the NFL. In the NFL. I have a bunch of Raider fan friends. You know how bad it is? Sitting there watching that game on Sunday, usually Raider fans get PO'd when their team is getting dumped on by another fan.
I'm guessing they were rooting for the Giants.
They're not rooting for the Giants, but they were so self-deprecating. And so, like, when they scored the touchdown, and I forget what the score was at the time. I think the Giants were up 28-0.
Yeah.
Maybe 28-7.
The Manningham throw.
You know, it was like the old Bronx cheer. Yay! And I was like, oh, my God. Has it been 2000 what? 2002 they were in the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, yeah.
And 2009, we have like the black hole. But here is the black hole, quite literally.
You hit it on the head because the black hole, they're not getting out of this black hole anytime soon. They're a terrible franchise. They are awful. They need to figure out, they need to just say, you know what? The Jamarcus Russell experiment is not working. But, you know, there's nothing you can say about the Giants other than the fact that they are, to me, the best 5-0 team in the league.
No, they are. I can't argue that now. I mean, they just went out and they basically slapped the Raiders all over the field. Don't get me wrong. They should have. This game should not have been even close.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. And that, you know, this is what I was asking for in last week's podcast. I said, you know, please, just once, give me a blowout. Give me something.
I think the Giants are going to go either 13-3. Or 14-2. I think they're that good.
Yeah, I can't argue with you.
I think they're that good.
And unless they lose to the Saints this week, then there's, you know.
Yeah, well, with that being said, I'm picking the Giants against the Saints.
Yeah, I am too. Well, we should do that anyway. We're both taking the Giants over the Saints. I think the Jets defense played them really well. I think the Giants will be...
The blueprint is there.
I'll be looking... The Giants will be looking at that tape that the Jets had. They run different defenses, but still, the Giants' defense is no slouch, and they've proved that over the last couple of weeks. I mean, since the Cowboy game, they've given up 23 points over three games.
Yep. They
shut out the Bucs. They beat the Chiefs 27-16 in the game, you know, that was pretty much ruled by the Giants till late. And the Raiders... The Raiders shouldn't have even scored, and every time I say it, I just get PO'd. But anyway, we're moving on to the Jets now. Moving on to the Jets.
Ooh. Brutal.
A brutal couple of weeks. Mark Sanchez, the Sanchez, as they're calling him. I don't know if they're calling that anymore after these past 2 weeks. That's the way it is in New York, buddy boy. You're riding high in April, and you're shot down in May. Unfortunately, that's the way the ball bounces and the cookie crumbles here in the Big Apple.
Wow, that was so many
cliches.
That was amazing.
Yeah, thanks.
Holy jeez.
It's from a childhood of watching TV and not reading.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so the Jets get out to a great start to the season. They're 3-0. They beat the Texans, the Patriots, and the Titans, who everybody thought, wow, beating the Titans, that's a good win.
Well, not so much anymore.
Titans haven't won yet, so we're still waiting on their first W. But the Jets, they lose to the Saints. That you could pretty much...
It happens.
You could deal with that.
Saints are 4-0 this year.
But the Dolphins with Chad Henne, and like I said at the beginning of the podcast, listen, this kid might turn out to be an okay quarterback. He might. Hey, you don't know.
You couple that with the best running game in football right now. God, I mean, if he plays the way he played last night, this AFC East is going to be very interesting.
It's up for grabs.
They're only one game back of the Patriots and Jets right now.
The one thing that surprised me about this game was the fact that there was so much offense in it, because both defenses are really good. And Rex Ryan
was embarrassed.
Got all over his defense.
He was embarrassed.
He said about his, I've just never seen defense that bad in my life. So I have a feeling there's gonna be some reparations in Florham Park, New Jersey this week.
Yeah, it's gonna be a bad week for that defense.
Before the Jets host the Bills,
Braylon Edwards looked
Giants
good.
Stadium, he did.
You gotta like that.
Yeah, and you know who else has to like that? Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Because basically, you throw it up to this guy, he's gonna catch it. But the Dolphins, you can't say enough. Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams.
Sperano had this team 0-3.
Third and goal with 6 seconds left. Even the players on the sidelines said, and I quote, "I can't believe we're not passing it here." They got into the Wildcat, and they ran it in.
Yep.
And the players, after the game, said, "That's why they're coaching, and we're playing."
Yep.
Third and goal from the three.
Couldn't stop the Wildcat all day.
No.
They couldn't stop it
all day.
And
then the Jets go into that Seminole, and Miami just destroys that.
Yeah.
And the first fake field goal, not fake field goal, fake punt. The first fake punt, the announcers didn't get the call. I mean, they were like, we don't know if that was a fake or if he just bobbled it
and
took off.
Right.
But I love, there's nothing better than watching a punter run for his life. I don't know what it is, but the first week, the Giants and Redskins, when they ran the fake field goal, and I think it was Hunter Smith.
Yes.
Who was holding and picked the ball up and ran around. It looked like he was being chased.
It's like from Unnecessary Roughness.
Blow the whistle. Yeah. So... anyway, back to the Jets.
They're beating the Bills.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Jets over the Bills.
Yeah, I'm picking the Jets too. So Joey and I are both taking the Jets over the Bills. And as far as our other game is concerned this week in the NFL, by the way, not a good week for picks for Joe or myself.
Not a good week, period.
Yeah, we are both 1-2. So that drops us to 8-4, both of us.
We got to break this tie.
Yes, we have to break the tie at some point. And like we said last week in the podcast, we're not going to take the obvious games because that's no fun. So we take, the harder games. We don't pick with the spread. There's no spread involved. Here's my pick this week. The Ravens, 3-2, 1-1 on the road, go into Minnesota. Take on a 5-0 Vikings team. It's kind of hard to believe. Brett Favre's 40 years old, been in the league for God knows how long. He's never started a season 5-0.
That's amazing.
And now he's 5-0 with the Vikings. But I believe, and none of you out there should take whatever I say, you know, and go run and place a bet anywhere, because I took the Jaguars last weekend.
How'd that work out?
Hello. But I think the Ravens go into Minnesota, and I think they... lay a little bit of a beatdown on the Vikings. Not a beatdown. It'll be a close game. But I think as far as punishing that defense, punishing Brett Favre and the Vikings offense, I think it'll be close, and I think the Ravens will squeak out of Minnesota with a win.
All right, well, my pick, Chris, is Chicago-Atlanta, a real good game in Atlanta. Chicago playing so well right now. Jay Cutler really, you know, he's a good quarterback. You can't say any more about that. Their defense, sans Brian Urlacher, has been really good. They're 3-1. The Falcons also only have that one loss. They're 2-0 at home. You know, in their loss, they looked awful, but they came back and had an impressive win in San Francisco against a 49ers team that everybody thought was just, you know, one of the elite teams in the NFC, and Atlanta put him in their place.
Boy, did they.
Oh, and I like Matt Ryan to Tony Gonzalez. I like Matt Ryan to Roddy White. I like their running game. Michael Turner really turned it up last week. And I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to come out with the Dirty Bird win.
All right. Joe takes the Giants, Jets, and the Dirty Birds. Yours truly takes the Giants, the Jets, and the Baltimore Ravens. We will see how we do when we get together and do this again next week here on the Off the Wall podcast. Until then, for Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com.
Thank you very much, Chris.
I am Chris Sheeran with no nickname, signing off for the Off the Wall podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody.